Okay, Boker Tov world. You know the old ships at sea of Walter Cronkite. I'm telling you, Brucey can get it out there. He doesn't even need radio waves. So, today's daf in Masechet Nedarim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Samach Gimel, and we're finally back on schedule, right at the top of the daf. So I was a good boy yesterday, finished up where I needed to. And now we're going to take a look at what we left off with yesterday, which according to Rabbi Zeira was claiming that the machlokas that we have in the Mishnah about whether we need the actual Geshamim or whether we just need the Zman of the Geshamim, that is really not a machlokas under all circumstances. The only time that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said that you don't need the actual Geshamim and the Rabbanan would argue on them, that's Dafka. This is the way the Ron has it. There is a different girsa, but we'll learn this pshat. It's the most mesudar pshat. That's Dafka when he said ada gishamim, because that's not the normal way you would say things. You would say ada geshem. So that's why the Rabbanan held that the words ada gishamim meant actual rain. But if he just said ada geshem, then it's talking about the period of time, ada geshem. And then everybody would agree that you don't have to worry about the actual Yuridat HaGeshamim, you only need to get to the Zman of the Geshamim. So that was Rabbi Zeira. Now today, we've got a problem with Rabbi Zeira. Meitei. When it comes, remember that normally we would have said that something that is up in the air, this is like something that doesn't have any particular time, you know. So if something doesn't have any particular time, according to the Ran, remember, even the Hatchal of the time, it doesn't have a Zman Kavua for its Hatchala, so then, for sure, let's say you say Ada Katsir, right? So you say Ada Katsir. So then you have to wait till the actual event. So why is Ada Geshem different? Ada Katsir, we said, it means when the people go out with their Kalkala and so on. So why over here is it any different than that? So the obvious answer, this is the answer that the Ron brings, but this leads us to today's sugya. The obvious answer is that the time of the katsir does not have any halachic meaning. But the time of the geshem has a very important halachic meaning. Because we need to define, when are we going to say in the tefillah, v'tein talumat alavracha, right? So at what point are we maskir geshamim? That has to be in the zman of the geshamim. Or what happens if the rains don't come? So then we have a halacha of sets of ta'aniyot, and those ta'aniyot are defined by the specific times where if Geshem hasn't come by this point, so then we have the yechidim that are being misana. If it doesn't come at that point, then everybody has to be misana and so on. So that means that we've given a definition to those times. That is very different than talking about ada katsir, where there has to be the actuality. Therefore, in this case, ada geshem indeed means, even according to the Rabbona Taina Rabbi Zeira, that ada geshem would mean to the time defined as geshamim, just like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and that should not confuse us about things that don't have any kavua zman, such as the katsir, the yosif, and so on. Okay. So now we've got a problem with this assertion of Rabbi Zeira, because the Braita says, Ezehu zmana shel revia. So now we have to define the revia, and the Gemara is going to ask in a moment. Actually, the Braita explains it, that the revia, which is the first, each one of these periods has three separate rainfalls. So the revia has three rains. The bechira of the revia is on the third day of Cheshvan, Bishlosha. The Beinonit, which is the second one, is on the seventh day of Cheshvan. And the last is the Afilah. The last one is on the 23rd of Cheshvan. That's Rabbi Meir Shita. We're going to see in a moment what this is in the Gia. Rabbi Yehuda, No, you've got it wrong. It is not the third and the seventh and the 23rd. It's the seventh and the 17th. And the 23rd, respectively, which is the Bechira, the Beinonit, and the Afilah. Rabbi Yossi says, you're both wrong. It's on the 17th, on the 23rd, and on Rosh Chodesh Kislev. V'chein haya Rabbi Yossi Omer, Eina Yechidim Mitanim Ad Sheyagei Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Even the Yechidim, that refers to Talmidei Chachamim, the people who have more responsibility and sensitivity to the earth, for the Hanhaga of the Geshamim and Hashamayim, even they, which they're the first sets of Taniyot, that only people that are sensitive are Misanimayim, they don't start until Rosh Chodesh Kislev, and there hasn't been any rain. Now, so far, this is not Negeas. But let's take a look at what we said in the Gemara over there, because the Gemara said, what is the meaning of defining some type of theoretical meteorological event? I mean, who cares? So I understand that I need to define the onset of the Geshamim, meaning the Revi'a Rishona. Why is that? Because there it's going to define when it is that we're going to be Shoyel Geshamim in our Tvila. That's when we start saying V'tein Talu Matar, which, of course, we all know. This is only in Eretz Yisrael, obviously. In other places, it's Nogea, the Tekuf, Asachama. And I understand why we need to define the third one, because the third one is if there hasn't been rain by the third one, so then the Yechidim have to begin fasting. But what's the point of the second one? Elishniyah Lamai. Why are we talking about rainfall at the second time? So Rabbi Zeira explained over there that it's talking about for someone who made a neder. Oh, because that's what we said over here. A neder ada geshamim. So we said that up until the second of the revia, the Beinonit, he's going to be aser. And at that point, it becomes mutter. Okay, so far, so good. Now, here's the problem. Vamrinan Allah, because the continuation of the sugya over there in Ta'anit goes like this. Kiman Azlah HaTanya, who is the one who says this brighter, namely, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Kishamim Sheyardu Shiva Yomim Zeachase, Atamone Behem Revi'a Rishona Ushnia. So over there, the Gemara explains that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel was talking about his Shita, and he was saying to the Chachamim, you know, you can argue with me all you want about the fact that we actually need rain. Okay, I'm ready to accept the fact that we'll define the issues, Alpi, the actuality of the rains, which is what you say about the second revia. But let me ask you something. At least, don't you think you should agree that in the event that you had seven straight days of rain, you're not going to try to tell me, well, I mean, those are straight days. I mean, you can't call the Revi'a Shnia if there was only one big rainstorm that went on for 7 days. Then we're going to need to have a little bit of a time in between. You wouldn't say that, would you? I mean, at least be made that if you have seven straight days of rain, that then we have both the Revi'a Rishona and the Revi'a Shnia. Now, this is the words of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, who's arguing with the Chachomim in our mission here in Nedarim, and he says you don't need the actual rain. Fine, so he's telling the Rabbanon, I don't think you need rain at all. But if you think you do need rain, so then do you also need a hefsik between the rain? Now, first of all, where do we get 7 days from? I mean, who's that going according to? Well, it only goes according to Rabbi Yossi, right? Because, I mean, he says the first is the 17th, and the second is the 23rd, and the third is Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Well, if it started raining on the 17th and it rains for 7 days straight, so then fine, then you get to the 23rd. But that would be, according to Rabbi Yossi, both the Revi'a Rishona and the Shnia, correct? And Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is saying, in that case, can we at least be agreed that the neder would be over? Because here you had both days, and there was rain on both days. And none of this makes any sense, does it? I mean, according to Rabbi Zeira, that there was never even a machlokas in the event that you said ad hageshem. And that's the normal way to make the neder, is ad hageshem. So, I mean, that was the whole point, wasn't it? That the only reason that the Chachamim were arguing is because he added that extra word, which is not the way people normally have said it. And they said gishamim, and that's why we said, according to Rabbi Zeira, that the Chachamim were arguing because of the fact that we have a lishna yetera. The guy's talking too much, and he's not using the standard word. So what is he coming to add with saying gishamim? He must be coming to add actual rains. But, I mean, in a stam discussion in a Braita, we wouldn't think that we're talking about Geshamim, would we? We're talking about Geshem. But we find Reb Shimon ben Gamliel explaining himself, according to the Chachomim, who hold that you need actual Geshem, even in a case where you said Mina Geshem. I mean, doesn't that make Rabbi Zira untenable? Well, come on, man. Of course it doesn't. I mean, it's obvious that if Reb Shimon ben Gamliel is trying to make a point that the Geshamim don't need to be separately defined fallings of rains, even according to you, Chachamim. I mean, so obviously, the only case that he could talk about to bring that out was where the guy would have said Geshamim. Don't you think that that's the case over here? The guy said Geshamim. I understand what kind of weird question that is. So, who the Amar? Ada Geshamim. Obviously, I'm trying to illustrate it. So I'm talking about a case where any idiot should understand that we're talking about Ada Geshamim and not Ada Geshem. And there we have a Machlokas. And so I'm coming to discuss our Machlokas in that context. No problem whatsoever. Now, the Halakha Talisker, I'm sure, will be ready for the Halakha Mishnah, because if he isn't, I notice. All right.
They never let somebody...
No, that's the Sagan of the Kuna Gedaila, let me tell you. That kept him on his toesies.
You know what the guy did when the guy was running up the ramp? Oh,
Doc, you better watch out. Konam Yayin Sh'eni Taim L'Shana. So let's talk about now, we were talking about the different amounts of time that are implied by different ways of stating a neder. If you say Hayom, Yom Echad, or just Yom, when it comes to the Shana, so if a guy says, I won't eat it for the year, L'Shana. So how about if Beis Din decided later on in the year that it's a leap year, Nitabra Shana? So then, since he said this year, it was Le Hashana, so then he is usher in that extra month. But suppose he made a neder until the beginning of Adar. Which Adar does he mean? Well, in that case, it would be Ad Rosh Adar HaRishon. And what about if he said Ad Sof Adar? It would mean Ad Sof Adar HaRishon. That's the Girsa that we have. That's the Girsa of the Ran. There are others who have a different Girsa, which causes problems later on, in which the Girsa is Ad Sof Adar HaSheni. So we'll take the Ran's Girsa, which is the one that's written here, and explain it accordingly. Says the Gemara, okay, so then what you're saying is that when a person refers to Adar in a leap year, and you don't say Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni, the assumption right off the bat is that we're talking about Adar Rishon. If you wanted to say Adar Sheni, then you would have said Adar Sheni, right? But that means that the Mishnah is not going according to some Shitas, because it would only work out according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because the Braita says like this. So let's say somebody writes in a get or in a shtar, Adar HaRishon. So you're a sofer and you're writing up the shtar. During Adar Rishon, you have to write Adar Rishon. So you're writing the date, so you say the 23rd of Adar Rishon. But if you're an Adar Sheni, then you just write the 23rd of Adar. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Now, according to this, that means that the assumption of Stam Adar is Dafka Adar Sheni. Well, that's not like our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda, Imer, whereas Rabbi Yehuda actually says what you'd expect according to our Mishnah. Namely, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, if you are the sofer and it's Adar Rishon, you just wrote the 23rd of Adar. And then that means Adar Rishon. And if it's a Adar Sheni, then you have to write Tinyan, the second Adar. So the only part of this that agrees with us is this part. And that must mean that our Mishnah is specifically going Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. L'chora. Omar Abaye, listen, not necessarily. Because there would be two different possibilities, right? I mean, you're standing at the beginning of the year. You have no idea that there is an Adar Rishon and an Adar Sheni. The year has not been declared as a leap year. So wouldn't there be an obvious difference as to what you mean? Omar Abaye, Afilu Temer Rebbe Meir. there's a difference where Yoda Dima'abrashata. So when you're over here, you're the sofer. You're writing out. You know, you're writing it now during Adar, and you know, therefore, that there's already been a declaration of Besdin that this is a leap year. So in the case that you knew that there was a leap year, an extra Adar, so then if you don't say anything specific, so then you're talking about Adar Sheni. That would be the way that Rebbe Meir understands it. Because look, I mean, Adar Sheni, when do you keep all of the mitzvahs of Adar? When do you keep the Arba Parshas? When do you keep Purim? People look at Adar Sheni, therefore, as being the essential Adar. I mean, the other month is nothing like the Adar with all of the chiyuvim that we're used to. So therefore, we're saying that Einachinami, you can write Stam Adar. But in our Mishnah, we're talking about Nit Abra Shana. So the guy didn't know. So if he didn't know, so then he wouldn't have been thinking about Adar Sheni. Therefore, when he said Adar, so in that case, Einach Inami, it was the first Adar. When everybody agreed to that, that makes sense. And therefore, there's no reason for us to have to really make this a machlokas, and that it's going dafka aliba de Rebbe Yehuda. Okay, there's all kinds of questions about whether this is Davka Minogea Lishna of Bnei Adam, but has nothing to do with the technical legalities. Maybe the two things are not really meant to be one sugya. So it could be that Nedarim and Shtarot, which are a reflection of the way people usually talk about it, so then it's one halacha. But the question of what is the actual extra month, and this has to do with the length of the month and the question of whether it's a Chedesh Choser and how much it could be Moisif and so on, which one will the real Adar please stand up? So in that case, it's very possible that the first Adar is viewed as a Shvat, basically, and that the real Adar. And that was a day, that was a month that we stuck in. So it's another Shvat became an Adar. And that the real Adar would be Adar Sheni. It could be the other way around. This is a big discussion. So not necessarily is what we write in a Shtar or what we mean in a Neder. We're used to this idea that there's Lishta de Bnei Adam. And then there's other issues that have to do with other legalities. So that's what we're talking about. Maybe our mission is where the guy didn't know. And I'll prove it to you. Because Vatanya, take a look at this braisa. Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar. So somebody makes something usher. Kainim Yayin Alay Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar. So then he means Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar Harishon. But if it was a leap year, then he meant Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar Hasheni. So explain to me how do you understand this braisa. When we said at the beginning of the braisa, if you said until Rosh Chodesh Adar, you meant until Rosh Chodesh Adar Harishon. So what was that talking about? It wasn't the Shana Mu'uberet? If it wasn't the Shana Mu'uberet, how was there an Adar Rishon? I don't understand what you're saying. That's absurd. So obviously both the first case and the second case are cases when we have a Shana Mu'uberet, right? There's an Adar Rishon, there's an Adar Sheni. So what is the braisa talking about? And if it was a Shana Mu'uberet, that can't mean, what are you trying to say? The Reisha Lav Mu'uberet Haskina. So the first case, there was an Adar Rishon, even though there wasn't an Adar Sheni. That's quite a trick. So obviously that's not the meaning. So Shema Amina, it must be that the difference is that it's referring to what the person who made the Neder knew at the time. That's the point. So if he didn't know, and there was, in the end, an Adar Sheni, he meant an Adar Rishon. If he did know that it was Mu'uberet, that's what it means when it says V'im Shana Mu'ubereti, then he would mean Adar Shchadash Adar Sheni, and that's exactly what Abaye was saying. So therefore, Shema Amina Hada Pshita Leide Ma'abra Shata V'hadelo Yada, and that's exactly the point. And now I just want to warn the kind of people who want time for overtime. Jay should be aware of the fact that there are people working on an AI that knows when it's a new Mishnah, and you know what that means. So I'd advise you, I'm Rimla, Havechacha Mushtok. Go ahead. Now, we have also a bunch of cases in which we will even violate what appears to be something that the person is saying because of the clarity that we have about what he must mean. So this is like the ultimate umdana kind of thing. So for instance, Rabbi Yoimer, let's say a guy says, Kainim Yayin She'enitoim, Achiye HaPesach. Now we said that Achiye He, remember, everybody's moda Achiye He means until it's past. Until Pesach was. Not until Pesach, but until Pesach was. So what are you trying to say? So therefore, you would say that he's usher in wine until the end of Pesach. But that's ridiculous. Because, I mean, if he's talking about Pesach, and he's talking about wine, wine and Pesach goes together like, it can't be that a guy's going to usher Pesach and wine. So therefore, since he's been waiting for the Leil HaSeder, what he's trying to say is, I don't drink wine unless it's Pesach. That's what he must mean, right? So in the learned kavin, se'a ela ad Leil Pesach. Nah, that's the time. This is the big time for drinking wine, even for people who don't drink wine. So therefore, he must have meant that. And let's say, I'm not going to eat any meat until Yom Kippur. What is that? And on Yom Kippur, you are going to eat meat. Okay. But he said, Achiyehe Atzom. So the meaning of the word Achiyehe Atzom should be until the end of Yom Kippur. Which you would say, okay, so that means the guy wants to have, anyway, okay, fine, anyway, I wouldn't be eating on Yom Kippur, but I might as well add that into my neder so I get the schluss of not eating meat, so that I can tell my dietitian, yes, I made a neder, I'm not going to eat meat for the next 46 days. And it turned out that includes Yom Kippur. So he says, no, that's not what it means. Unbelievably, he doesn't even mean until Yom Kippur. Forget about Pesach, it meant at least until Pesach, you know. And then the night of Pesach, now he's already drinking wine. Over here, he doesn't even mean until Yom Kippur. He means until Erev Yom Kippur at the Sa'uda and Erev Yom Kippur, where everybody eats meat because it's a big mitzvah. And therefore, as we know, if somebody sells an animal for Shechita, the din is if it's Erev Yom Kippur, he has to say, you better watch out because I sold the mother of this child earlier today, and I'm assuming it's going to be shechted tomorrow, you know, for Yom Kippur. So if you're going to shecht, you better make sure because it's going to be a problem of Osav Esbeno. Normally, you don't have to announce that, but on Erev Yom Kippur, you do have to announce it because there's so much shechita of animals. You see that that's the normal time for people to eat meat. And if that's the case, then undoubtedly, when he said Ad Atzom, he meant until the period that people eat meat, even though that's before the Tzom. So even that, we're going to contradict the simple meaning of what he's saying. Wow. So Lo Nitkavin Zela Ad Sha'ar Sh'Derech Bnei Adam Le'Echol Basar. So this is pretty amazing. Rabbi Yossi Beno Omer, and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda said that if somebody said, even konam shum, sheni toim achtei Shabbat, I'm not going to eat any garlic until tehei Shabbat. Now that would normally mean until Shabbat is over. Yeah, but that's ridiculous because Friday night is garlic night. Now you wouldn't agree that Friday night is the best time for garlic night for intimate relations because garlic does not go a long way. At least in our society, to intimacy. So, I don't know. Maybe the guy means garlic plus mouthwash, but whatever. But since there was a Takonas Ezra, that garlic is good for semen production, so because of that, he made a Takona, everybody's got to eat garlic on Friday nights. You need to be Shimshon HaGibor on a Friday night. Okay, so just keep your mouthwash handy. But if a guy says he's not going to eat garlic Ashtei Shabbos, I mean, that's crazy. Everybody eats garlic on Erev Shandalel Shabbos. So that must mean what he meant. Eino asur, ela ad leile Shabbat, shelo nitkavein ze, ela ad sha'a, shederech bnei adam, leachol b'shum. And there's other cases. Let's say, and this was, of course, what we examined earlier, this mission, we went into a great length, and it had to do with various ways of understanding the circumstances. Look, I'm not going to be nene from you if you refuse to accept this gift from me to your son, which is a nice way of saying it's really to you, but you don't insult a person. I want you, listen, I really like your kids. I want you to come over and you take from me a whole giant core of wheat and two big barrels of wine, and that's what I want your kid to have. So in that case, the person can basically cancel the netter, by saying to him, look, obviously you didn't mean that I literally need to be taking that, right? You wanted to give me covet. Now remember, we said before that it's actually a little bit dependent on circumstances, because there are cases where the guy could be saying, lav kalbana, you know, that I'm the one who always gets presents and you don't accept presents. You say, lav malkana, that I'm the one who always gives presents and nobody. Okay, those are particular contexts where we might explain the netter like that. But Pashtas, if we don't have a history behind it, so then when somebody is saying that, he's trying to show how much he cares about another person. And, you know, I mean, look, I just can't live with the thought that you're not going to accept this for your son, which really is a way of him showing covet for this person. That's how much you mean to me. So the guy can say, okay, but your intent was to show me covet. And you have shown me covet in that statement. And now I want even more covet. And my greatest covet is to say that I'm such a big shot that I don't take gifts. So you would accept that too, right? If it's lichvodi. So then he can say, kluma marta lepnei kvodi, zeo kvodi. The fact that I can refuse the gift, that's even a bigger covet. So, okay, so eino chinami. Or vice versa. V'cheino omer l'chavero, konem sh'at nenes li im einat bavenoten livni, kor shalchit v'shtei chaviot shoyayin. So here we said this could be a situation where he's been giving all the gifts. In that case, so eino chinami, this could really be meant as a lav malka ana. That was the whole lengthy discussion we had about this Mishnah earlier. But over here, we're saying that we understand that to mean that he really insists that I want to see that you care about my kids. Rabbi Meir says, so eino chinami. He's asur at that point until the guy actually comes and gives that gift. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, avzei yachol aferet nidrosh lo pi chacham. The Omar lo, he could say to the guy, okay, I wanted you to understand how much it means to me, but hare ani ki'ilu hitkabalti. I don't need it. I thought I needed it. I don't need it. We got plenty of people who gave what we needed for the wedding and so on. Okay, so again, this was all contextual, as we said before, whether the kids actually needed it, whether it was necessary for a wedding or whatever. Now, there's other cases also where we look at the circumstances. So let's say somebody is under pressure, and haya misarev bo laseit bat achoto. So people are pushing him to marry his niece, which is a big mitzvah that you're supposed to marry your sister's daughter, that's Bipsarcha, Lotitalam, and so on. And he says, Konem Shihinenet Li Leolam. Listen, that girl is not going to get any pleasure from me ever, okay? To get it out of your head. So, okay, so now you would think that that means rejection of his niece, that she can't even have a drink of water from him because she's going to be nenes, right? Or a guy's divorcing his wife. And he says, Konem Ishtinenet Li Leolam. In these cases, since the context is marriage or divorce, we understand that the hana is a reference to intimacy. It's not a reference that she can have a drink of water. You don't want to answer the niece in the water. You just are saying to the guy, this girl is never going to be in bed with me. I'm telling you right now. So you might as well stop all of your pressure. But it's nothing to do with what he said, even though he said nenesli in general. Or suppose a guy is pressing someone to be a guest, right? And the guy makes a netter and he says, konam your houses. Even walking into your house is a konam. So, okay, so what would you think? You think you can't walk into the house? Well, the guy says, even one little glass of water, a drop of cold water, I wouldn't drink from you. He doesn't mean that. He just means, forget about my coming as a guest. That's all that he means. Of course, he's allowed to walk into the house. And of course, he's allowed to have a cup of water from him. All he meant in context was davka achila v'shtiya, and he's just trying to make it clear that I'm not going to come. Okay, big machlokas over here between the various poskim and the Rishonim about how far we go in terms of the psak. What extent of a hochacha, which is there's an umdana de muchach and an umdana that isn't muchach. And that here the Ran and the Rajba go into in terms of halacha lemaisa, whether even an umdana that's not 100% evident, I mean, the guy may be saying to his divorcee, I wouldn't give her a cup of water, and he means it. I mean, I'll just say, but Dafki's talking about intimacy, and some of the other cases as well. Is it so poshet that it was meant lichvotcha, that you say it was lichvotcha? As we raised the question earlier, there may be other issues that would be involved that was needed to be taken into consideration. In all cases, we are ready for Sir Richard once again. Hadron Allah, Konam Yayin. Amazing. No! I'm trying to be good. If we start the next parak, then I'm start doing it again. Getting out of our Seder, which is not very good.